Hi, this is Sid Lieberman, and today's cut is from my album Lieberman Live, which was recorded at the 2002 National Storytelling Festival in Jonesboro, Tennessee.
I often tell stories about my kids, but this is a story about me as a kid. It's my wife's favorite story. She's sitting over here with my kids. And I said to her, because I never liked the story as much as she has. And actually, just a couple of days ago, I said to her, Adrian, why do you like this story so much? And she, it was so wonderful. She said, because I fall in love with you as a kid. So here it is. Maybe you fall in love too. It's called The Winner. Grew up in Chicago, as I said. And that meant that every summer I spent a few days at the old amusement park in Chicago, Riverview. When I say old amusement park, I don't mean theme park like they have nowadays. Parks that are spotlessly clean and all the workers look like they're dropouts from prep school. I mean a place that was seedy and deliciously exciting for a little kid. Great roller coasters with wonderful names, the Silver Streak, the Blue Streak, the Greyhound, the Flying Turns. They had one called the Bobs. They built it as the world's largest roller coaster. And when you came out of that sky for the first time, you had to agree that was true. That drop ended with a hairpin turn to the left. And at that hairpin turn, they used to have a barrel of earrings. They called it the world's largest collection of unmatched earrings. They had something even better, the parachutes. They had actual parachutes. They just lifted you up, and 180 feet in the air, the parachute opened, and they dropped you. Now, the drop was wonderful, but going up, that was even better. It was torture, because you would go up slowly, 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 and the chute was over you, so you never knew when you were going to hit. Now, there was a great ride for teenagers. The girls would squeal, and the guys would hug them. But I was a kid at the time. And I felt about girls the way Zach felt when he was 9. I said to him once, I said, Zach, you know, you're so good looking, the girl's going to be all over you soon. He said, shut up, Dad, you're making me sick. The other ride that the teenagers liked was shoot the chutes. They actually took a whole boat and lifted it into the air by elevator and sent it down a water slide. The water would whoosh over the sides, and when you'd hit the pond, big waves would come over and drench you. And then we like to sit when that happened about two-thirds of the way back, but that's where the teenagers like to sit with their girls. Because it wasn't by chance that the tunnel of love was right across the midway. They'd go in and they would hug their girls, and we'd get in the back of the boats and we'd fake hug and go, and yell, I love you. And when that boat docked, we took off. It had a fun house, never be equaled. Aladdin's castle, Aladdin himself, painted on the backdrop, dared you to come in. And in you would go through a maze of screen doors. Not 30 seconds into that maze, you knew you weren't going out the way you came. And so on you would plunge through corridors so dark, you'd have to feel your way along. And things would light up or jump out at you. You'd go into rooms where the floors were in funny directions or had silly mirrors. You'd only come out once, and that was to go up some steps, because there was a guy in the tower who would push a button and blow the girl's skirts in the air, a la Marilyn Monroe. And back in you would go through a barrel that rolled into a room whose floor spun in all directions, and it all ended when you would sit on a bench, and the bench would break, and you'd ride a conveyor belt out into the sunlight. I can still feel the rollers under my butt. I used to go on nickel days, because that allowed me to do something I loved even more than the rise, and that was to play the games of chance. You see, my father was a gambler. He would go to the track during the day. If he had any money, he'd go to the trotters at night. If he had any money after that, he played cards till all hours of the morning. But he never had many nights and days like that because he had no mazel, no luck when it came to gambling. If he bet on a baseball game, his two outfielders would stand there and the ball would drop between them. The winning run would score. In basketball, his player going for a slam dunk and miss, and he'd lose the game. There's two Yiddish words, shlemiel and shlemazel. My father was both when it came to gambling. A shlemiel is defined as somebody who's always spilling a soup going from the kitchen to the living room, and shlemazel is defined as the guy the soup lands on. That was my father. I'll give you, for instance, he once bet a quinella. You had to win 5 races in a row to win. He won 4. In the 5th race, he's got 2 horses live. Each one is going to pay him $15,000 if he wins. They're the 2 favorites. Coming into the home stretch, they're running 1st and 3rd. Now, my father was a quiet man. He watched the races as if he were watching a ballet. But on that day, he was snapping his fingers and hitting his program against his leg. And you know what happened? The horse running 2nd beat them both in a photo finish by that much. On the way home, he started to go through a traffic light in the rain and thought better of it and backed right into a police car. They gave him 3 tickets. Reckless driving, damaging city property, and running a light, which I guess was backwards. He's dead now. He's been dead a long time, but I know he's still gambling. Back when the Bears won the Super Bowl in 1985, they got into it, but they beat the Giants in Soldier Field. The first touchdown they scored, the punter went to punt the ball and missed it. The ball hit the ground, the Bears picked it up and ran it into the end zone. The announcer couldn't believe it. He said, I can't believe it. How could this have happened? How could this have happened? I've watched football all of my life. You know, I've never seen this. How could this have happened? Well, I know how it happened. My father was in heaven. He took the Giants. Well, the thing was, though, on his days off, he would get up in the morning, and often he'd go out to the barber, and he'd come back, and he'd be all slick and full of hope. And then he'd go off, and most of the time he'd come back a tired, beaten man in the need of a shave. But on the days he won, the look on his face, the feeling in the house, it was as if the gods were in their heaven shining upon him. Well, that was the feeling I wanted when I played the games of chance. But I was a kid. They only let you play like little silly games. You'd stand with a plastic fishing pole and catch little plastic fish. If one had a star on the bottom, you won something. You picked up a plastic duck. If it had a star on the bottom, you won something. It was those old, this is very un-PC, but that's what they call them, old Chinese puzzles. You stuck your fingers into these things, you never got them out again. My friends, they like to play skee ball. I don't know if you've ever played skee ball. You take a ball and you roll it down an alley, it hits a hump, it jumps into the air, and it lands into one of different concentric circles. Every concentric circle has so many points. So many points give you so many tickets. So many tickets gives you a present, a prize. The problem was if you saved your tickets all summer, if you saved them for a lifetime of summers, you never won anything. You never had enough tickets. It was like being an indentured servant. But I was my father's boy. I wanted to win now. There was one game that fit the bill. It was called a nickel toss. It was a small booth. On the outside, nickels painted in all sizes and all colors. The booth itself had a wire mesh floor about a foot off the ground, and on that wire mesh floor were green glass ashtrays. You threw your nickel through the air. If it landed in a green glass ashtray, you won it. My house was filled with green glass ashtrays. In the living room, in the bathroom, in the kitchen, and my parents didn't smoke. But I wasn't after the green glass ashtray, for there in the middle of that booth, rising like the monolith in 2001, was a pillar, and on that pillar was a plate glass. If a nickel stood on that plate glass, you want anything in a house. I saw nickels hit that plate glass and bounce off. Nickels hit that plate glass and slide off. Nickels hit that plate glass and just disappear. It was a black hole for nickels. But I didn't care, because every time I threw my nickel through the air, I was doing what my mother said my father was doing. I was throwing my money away. I had a quarter, which I had saved. I had tossed 4 nickels, nothing, not even green glass ashtrays. I was down to my last nickel, but I'd been there before. I took that nickel and I threw it through the air, and sometimes you see things in slow motion. I saw this nickel go up in slow motion. It was perfectly flat. At the apex of the throw, I knew it was going to hit the glass. And it came down and hit the glass, and it bounced in the air. And I thought, it's going off, it's going off, it's going off. And then suddenly it settled back down, dead center. Hey, we got a winner here, yelled the carny. Hey, everybody, the kid won. He gets anything in the house. Come on over, everybody, the kid won. Anything in the house. Okay, kid, what do you want? What did I want? How should I know? I hadn't gotten that far. All I wanted to do was win. Well, a vase started to come in like it was a game show. Kid, don't take the stuffed animals. There's stuff that's worth money up there. Take a roaster, kid, a roaster. But I didn't need advice, because when I looked around, I knew immediately what I wanted as my prize, way up on the top shelf on the right, a lamp. Well, it wasn't just any old lamp. It was a driftwood lamp, twisted in torturous shapes. Well, it was a fake driftwood lamp, made out of plaster of Paris. It was a heavy, fake driftwood lamp made out of plaster of Paris, painted shiny chocolate brown. But I didn't care. I hugged my shiny chocolate brown, fake, heavy plaster of Paris driftwood lamp to my chest, and I went home. My friends were gaga. On the bus, somebody looked at me and said, "Where did you get that lamp?" I ran home, and I said to my mother, "Here, I won the lamp," and I told her the whole story. And she looked at me in an act of kindness and consideration I don't expect to be equaled in this lifetime. She removed the green glass ashtray from a table in the living room and sat the lamp down. I'm sure it was a conversation piece. It was there for years. And then in a spring cleaning, it disappeared. But it didn't matter, because all of those years, I would go into that living room and I'd click it on when I came in, and when I go out, I'd click it off. It had been proof that I had been lucky, that the gods had shined upon me, that I had been a winner. Thank you. Now, I mean, these stories are true, except my wife says, "True? True? You never turned out a light in your life."
I hope you enjoyed listening. This story is distributed under a Creative Commons license, which requires attribution for all reproduction and prohibits commercial use. Find out more about me at my website, sidlieberman.com. That's SYD. LIEBERMAN.com.